Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Top Gun, Darkness, by Michael Anderley, narrated by Eva Wilhelm. Chapter 1. Izzy ducked away from a busy street into a dark alleyway. He jogged to a path that curved downward to leave behind the sparkling city boulevards and the signage and holograms doing their best to snag stray customers. Shadowy overhangs and unmarked doors took over before he arrived at a nondescript gray door. He reached up to rap on the door, and his jacket sleeve pulled back to reveal his wrist. He hadn't bothered with new fake flesh after getting his replacements, though the dull color and scratches of his second-rate metallics went with the bruises and ruddy, crusty lacerations on his face and neck. No one could look at him and think he was anything but run down. They wouldn't be wrong. The last few months had been rough. Greed had pushed the cyborg into his desperate current situation. His plan to capture Mia for her bounty had left him armless for several days. He was worn out from being used by the woman, both in her investigation of who set her up to look like a bleaker ally, and in keeping her in fuel and ammo via jobs. All this while he had to be careful not to let anyone else from his privateer company know he was working with someone falsely wanted for betraying a human world on behalf of the bleakers. No matter how much self-protection called out to Izzy, turning Mia in would end with him dead. He'd been pulled apart like a toy by the monster she called Charlie. It would be too soon if he never fought that beast again. Even if someone could take out Charlie, the girl herself was ridiculous. He still had trouble believing a woman without metallics could be faster than him. She had to be a cyborg and concealing the fact. That was the only answer he could accept to protect what little was left of his ego after their confrontation. Izzy checked one last time to make sure no one was watching him before knocking on the door. He took a deep breath and groaned when no one reacted. "Hungry penguins ride smiling bears over rainbows." He despised the passphrase Mia had given him and insisted he use. Her obvious distaste made him wonder if somebody else had come up with it for her. No one would ever guess it. That was a plus. The door clanged loudly before swinging inward, revealing that it was far thicker than it looked from the outside. A huge, rough hand snagged Izzy's arm and dragged him inside. Izzy found himself staring up at the bestial Charlie in a long jacket that concealed dark armor. That was new. Given his size, it was an impressive custom piece. At least Mia wasn't wasting her money on frivolous purchases. Mia stepped behind Izzy. She slammed the door shut and secured the latch. She narrowed her eyes. "You're late. You were supposed to be here a half hour ago." "I had to be careful," Izzy complained. "Anybody finds me with you, we'll both end up in prison or worse. You don't want trouble. I don't want trouble." Judging by the faded decor and dusty furniture, they stood in the abandoned lobby of a business. Half a sign provided the last testament to the fallen company. "Take care of your worries before it's too late. Buy life insurance. Contact your stellar premier partner today." Izzy would have chuckled at the irony if he wasn't staring down Mia and Charlie and worried they'd take it the wrong way. Mia nodded to Izzy. "Spread your arms and legs. Charlie, check him."
"Is this really necessary?" asked Izzy, complying.
"Yes," Mia insisted. "All it takes is letting your guard down once to be ambushed." Izzy didn't resist as Charlie patted him up and down, quickly locating his gun, knife, and a small data chip in an interior pocket. The ogre pulled them out with a low growl and offered them to Mia. She shook her head and motioned for Charlie to return them to Izzy. "I only care if he's got anything that looks like a bomb. I don't expect him to wander around the back streets unarmed."
"How nice of you," Izzy scoffed. "I've been working with you for months now, and you still treat me like I'm going to sell you out as soon as I get a chance."
"Wouldn't you?" Mia asked. "We didn't end up in this situation and arrangement because you were loyal and trustworthy before. Did you forget the day when you tried to ambush me with mercs? She motioned to his arms. I would have thought having to get those replaced would have etched that into your mind. Izzy glared at her. The deadpan way she delivered the comment only annoyed him more. It was less like she was taunting him and more like she was stating a basic, obvious fact that any young child should know. She was right. He'd never forget that day. He also understood that if he looked at her the wrong way, her pet monster would tear him limb from limb. "I've apologized for betraying you plenty of times," replied Izzy. "And you can choose to believe it or not, but I genuinely want to find out who was responsible for the Bleaker mistake and have you take them out. Tricking my contractors isn't good for business. Helping aliens isn't good for my business. I've been wronged by this situation, too."
"Yet no one came after you with mercs." Mia folded her arms and leaned against a wall, her face inscrutable. "And it would have been helpful if you realized that months ago before the unfortunate incident."
"I'm not here to relitigate the past. I screwed up. I own that. If you want to kill me, kill me. Until then, we have business. Let's stay professional, Mia."
She stared at him silently for an unnervingly long amount of time before offering a shallow, almost imperceptible nod.
"Go on."
Izzy stepped forward. He reached up and adjusted his lapels. A man still had to keep his dignity, even if somebody else had his balls in a vice.
"I've got a new job lined up for you. It's something I think you would do well at, and isn't that different from the jobs I've pushed your way these last few months?"
"I'm listening."
"Just so you know, we'll be using a different cover story this time."
Izzy took a step away from Charlie, who was staring at him. Mia frowned.
"Why? Is anyone catching on to the old one? I was just settling into it."
Izzy shook his head.
"This is about avoiding trouble before it comes. We should have switched a long time ago. We'll need to keep switching covers unless you want the military, law enforcement, and bounty hunters looking for you. It's not a huge problem, but given your situation, I don't think extra caution is unwarranted."
Mia shrugged. "We're not privateers because we care about fame or glory. Make up whatever stories you need to as long as we can make money. Just don't do so much it becomes annoying."
Something about what she said didn't ring true. Izzy didn't question the lethality and dedication of Mia's crew, but he sensed a hidden goal far beyond money for money's sake motivating her. He'd felt that long before the Bleaker incident. Understanding that would be the key to understanding the woman, maybe controlling her a little. At that moment, he had no way of figuring it out other than asking her. That would earn him nothing but more threats.
"I've prepared credentials for you as a former Corpo security team," continued Izzy. "Your new background is that you were responsible for patrolling one of the sectors the Bleakers just took. The Corpo let you go as part of offsetting the losses associated with the fallen sector. You're not supposed to have had Bleaker combat experience, but this will justify your extensive ship-to-ship combat experience. The details might be off, but the fundamentals are true."
Beyond whoever set up Mia, Bleaker aggression had increased over the last few months. Fake backstories involving being a victim of the aliens were easy to generate without people probing too far. Accurate records retention didn't tend to accompany xenophobic aliens overrunning star systems. Mia frowned.
"I don't like the story. I don't like it at all."
Izzy took a deep breath. Yelling wouldn't help him, no matter his frustration. "What's wrong with the story? It's simple, direct, and it won't raise too many eyebrows. You might not trust me, but that doesn't mean I don't know what I'm doing. You're not the first contractor whose background I needed to cover up. You're just the first wanted by half the galaxy."
Mia walked over to him. "My ship and my fighters aren't Corpo tech, and my fighters are blatant KCAP Navy tech." She shook her head. "Anyone paying attention's going to wonder why an ex-Corpo team is using old KCAP tech. They'll see right through the story."
Izzy let out a sharp laugh and then offered a contrite look when Mia scowled at him. He spent so much time afraid of the young woman and her lackeys that he often forgot she was still new to the world of privateering. It was hard to believe such a lethal woman could be so naive in so many ways. The truth is, this client barely cares about contractor backgrounds, he clarified. And from what I can see, they'll care even less if it involves former corpos. The company cares more than anyone, and I'm your contact with the company. The client just wants assurances that the job will be done. Everything else is secondary. He smiled. What I'm doing is telling them exactly what they want to hear so they won't ask too many questions. This is a good strategy. I still don't like it, Mia protested. The client not caring is a warning sign. Caring less because they are corpo types is even more so. How do I know this isn't another trap? They'd have to know it was you to set you up, Izzy pointed out. And we're still not sure that you were specifically set up versus simple bad luck. Unless you have something else you'd like to share with me? Some reason why you'd be a target? No, Mia snapped. Your job is to find out who set me up and hid behind all the fake accounts and identities. The last thing I'm going to do is give you more ammo to use against me the next time you decide selling me out would be more profitable. Charlie growled and stumped toward Izzy. Mia threw up her hand and the huge man stepped back. It was impressive in a frightening way that a young woman could control the monster with such ease. That implied she was the real monster.
You betray her again, I'll tear you apart, piece by piece, Charlie threatened. And I'll make sure you're alive until the end.
I don't doubt it. Izzy shuddered. The creature had no class. He wasn't sure if Charlie was human or a strange alien-human hybrid that had somehow escaped detection by the authorities before meeting Mia. Besides, Mia, you complain about every job I offer you, despite me going out of my way to find you contracts lucrative enough to be worth your time, yet low-key enough to not attract attention neither of us wants. I know I owe you, but that doesn't change the fact that it's a complicated feat and worthy of more respect than you give me. Mia snorted. That's just a long-winded way of saying that you've got me doing shady jobs you can't risk giving to other contractors. Don't try to pretend you're doing me a favor.
Do you want the job or not?
Izzy let all his exasperation into his voice. If not, then we're wasting each other's time and risking exposure for no good reason. After a moment of hesitation, Mia stuck out her hand. Give me the details. Izzy reached slowly into his pocket to pull out the data chip Charlie had found earlier. He set it in Mia's palm, nodding as she slipped it into a pocket. Good choice. Now... A loud knock came from the door. Heart pounding, Izzy spun that way. Please tell me that's your people, he whispered. Mia shook her head. They wouldn't be stupid enough to come here and draw attention unless I called them. You were followed. Izzy licked his lips. I made sure I wasn't followed. I doubled back multiple times. There's more than one way to track a person, Mia contended. And maybe they're not here for me, but for you. She glanced between him and the door. Too bad I can't turn you in for a bounty.
What's the plan? Izzy asked. You must have a plan. You were ready when I tried to ambush you. You must be ready for this.
Mia didn't respond. She locked her gaze on her door and drew a pistol. Charlie cast a bored look at the door.
Kill the cyborg and take the side exit?
Wait! Izzy blinked. What did you say?
No. Mia shook her head. This isn't Izzy because he wouldn't be stupid enough to give us warning, which means it's likely someone else who's been watching this place enough they knew he'd come or we'd come. That means they know about the side exit. They'll have something nasty ready for us. Could be explosives. She nodded toward the front door. Their main force has to be out there.
Going through to get out,
Charlie commented.
You read my mind.
Izzy's stomach tightened.
These people were insane. He should have known that from the first day he met Mia. He should never have hired her. And now he was going to die. What are you planning to do exactly?
Charlie reached into his jacket and pulled out a gun. The firearm confused Izzy at first because of its wide and short barrel. It resembled a pistol in his hand, but when Charlie loaded it, it was clearly a shotgun. He also retrieved a huge baton.
We need a plan, insisted Izzy. You can't just storm through whoever's waiting for you out there. If you're right and they've been watching this place, then they'll be ready, either for you two or me. And you might have beaten me before, but I am a cyborg. What are you going to do? What should I do? Mia glanced his way, annoyed. It's like you're about to wet yourself, assuming you haven't replaced those parts of you. I guess you really didn't have anything to do with this. She gestured to a table in the corner. What do you do? Stay out of the way, scurry off when Charlie and I draw their fire, and be ready to shell out payment when I finish the job. Someone pounded on the door, the knock more insistent.
Open up, came a gruff voice. We need to talk to you.
Izzy threw up the table and crouched behind it. He'd only lived this long taking on fights with proper preparation. Mia wanted to show off. He was more than glad to let her. Mia waited another 30 seconds. Whoever was outside pounded the door a couple more times, repeating their earlier message. Their action, or lack thereof, gave her valuable intel. They'd given up surprise, but were afraid to attempt a breach-and-clear operation on the basement hideout. That meant they didn't have full intel on who might be waiting inside. Whoever was outside hadn't bothered delivering threats, only the request to open the door. They didn't think they could threaten the occupants outside without risking escalation. Mia took that to mean they understood at least one highly dangerous person was inside. Get ready, Mia ordered, lifting her gun. Charlie undid the latch and lifted it carefully. Mia walked over to grab the door. Ready? Charlie grunted.
Any restrictions?
She shook her head. All casualty types are acceptable. We're concentrating on evasion, not clearance, but don't go out of your way to kill people.
That makes things harder.
On my mark,
Mia whispered, grabbing the door handle. She yanked it open.
Go, go, go!
Charlie surged forward, his armored bulk leading the way. No one was stupid enough to stand right in front of the door. A mix of uniformed men with pistols and shotguns choked the narrow path leading back up to the main street. Judging by the uniforms, they were members of a local law enforcement tactical team. Being highly trained prepared men and women for many dangerous situations, but it couldn't prepare them for the complete range of bizarre encounters one could have in the fringe. Having a huge, armored, ogre-like man rip out of a building and barrel into your defensive line wasn't something any of the gathered officers had been prepared for. Only one man managed to get off a shot before Charlie slammed into them and his bullet went wide and hit a wall. Charlie bashed through the ranks of armed officers like an icebreaker plowing through Arctic ice. Officers flew into the air screaming. Charlie battered away the flanks with his baton, and loud thuds and crunches accompanied the blows. Mia surged from the building and lifted her gun, ignoring the enemy on the ground. Light glinted from the rooftops, snipers offering overwatch. Sweeping her gun, she fired quick shots and grunts sounded from the rooftop. The snipers pulled back to avoid the suppression fire. Continuing his charge, Charlie let out a window-shaking roar. Despite the loudness, none of the enemy froze. That didn't save them when Charlie launched two men flying with a smack from his baton. Mia snapped another shot above and nailed a sniper, sending him plummeting to the street. An enemy made it past Charlie and aimed his gun at Mia, but Charlie whipped his shotgun backward and blew the man's gun apart, bloodying his hands with the shrapnel. Mia wasn't sure if Charlie was trying to demonstrate restraint or skill. She emptied her magazine at the rooftop above, catching a glimpse of shadows where she predicted snipers would be. She never saw her victims, but she heard their yelps of pain. All the proud discipline from before collapsed as the enemy scattered and sought cover. Many lay on the ground, bleeding or with broken limbs. Charlie lunged with his baton and shotgun to knock down the last rank of enemies. They crashed against the hard ground, screaming. Mia reloaded and checked the roof. No more snipers dared show themselves. The highly trained men and women who'd come after them had numbers, skill, and experience.
They could have handled any other pair of criminals with ease. Unfortunately for them, they didn't understand they were facing two hardened super soldiers. Mia caught up with Charlie. They sprinted back up to the main street where the tech team had laid out their vehicles to form a roadblock. A small group of officers crouched behind the roadblock. This group was more prepared than the team below. They opened fire, hitting Charlie's armored vest but not slowing the ogre. Mia and Charlie returned fire, spraying with abandon. The enemy had made things convenient by clearing non-combatants out of the area. The withering gunfire ripped through vehicles, and the officers shouted in pain and ducked lower. Charlie and Mia didn't slow down even when reloading. They were a blur as they leapt over a bullet-cushion hover car. Their suppression fire forced their overwhelmed opponents back. The small number of conscious enemies from the initial ambush sprinted up from behind to reinforce their overwhelmed rear guard. Mia, trusting Charlie to follow her, darted for another alleyway. Charlie bellowed out another loud roar in defiance, still watching the enemy. He hesitated for a moment and took another couple of rounds to his armor before running after Mia.
Ito, this is Mia. Can you hear me?
The enemy had been prepared to deal with a dangerous opponent. That didn't mean they'd been smart enough to jam all comms.
I can hear you, Ito transmitted. You sound a little out of breath. Trouble?
You could say that. We're going to need a pickup at Point Gamma as prearranged. A rumble grew into a roar overhead as two gunships passed overhead. Mia emerged from her current alley and hurried across the street into a narrow walkway. She glanced behind to make sure Charlie could fit. She hadn't taken his size into account when planning escape routes, and he'd been forced to slow and walk sideways. Charlie growled.
We shouldn't be running. We kill them all, we end the threat. It's easier.
We don't have time for this victory or Valhalla attitude, Mia replied. We're going to sweep back around to get to the rendezvous point and get the hell off this planet. Mia emerged onto a side road and waited for Charlie to catch her before sprinting up the street. The gunships had flown off in a different direction before circling around the area of the roadblock. They'd lost their targets.
We can do this, Mia commented. They don't know our ship by sight.
Ito sighed over comms.
Your flyboy and flygirls are itching to join the fight.
Absolutely not, Mia barked. We made enough noise fighting our way out. If everybody comes in hot with fighters, that'll be too loud. Right now we have only the locals to deal with, no military.
I'll pass that along to them, Ito shot back smugly. I told them you were too busy to chat.
Mia and Charlie made record time, though rushing past confused people on the street and excited teens pointing their way would ensure this day would never be cited in training manuals as an example of top-level stealth. All they needed to do was get to Point Gamma. She and Charlie would need less than 30 seconds to board the Erinyes. Full throttle, low flying, and the obfuscate system would help them get away from the local air support. More gunships and drones flew into the area. The tech team was expanding their search perimeter. Mia didn't pay attention as she rushed through side streets and alleys. She'd studied the layout of this area for just this eventuality. A maze always favored a prepared defender. They'd made it halfway to the rendezvous point when Mia threw up her hand to halt Charlie at the mouth of an alley. She'd spotted flashing lights. She poked her head around the corner. Izzy knelt in the street, his hands on his head, his expensive-looking pants getting covered with grime. His weapons lay on the ground. Tech team members approached him warily on all sides, ready to open fire.
"Damn it," Mia muttered. "They're about to arrest Izzy."
Charlie grunted. "Let the metal man be punished. He doesn't know where we are. He can't point them at us even if they torture him."
Mia shook her head. "Right now, I and anybody working with me are among the most wanted people in human territory. He's a piece of shit, but that doesn't mean he's not good for getting us work. Not that I'd admit it to him, but none of the other contracts he's pushed our way since the incident have gone badly."
"We don't need him."
"Unfortunately, we do. We need the money he's pushing our way and whatever evidence he can find about whoever set us up. We're going to need both if we're going to have any chance of finding other super soldiers and the truth about my father."
"Then what do we do?"
Mia lifted her gun.
Something closer to what you wanted to do from the beginning. Prepare to follow my lead.
Any restrictions?
Mia shook her head. If they're trying to shoot us, they're valid targets. Try to avoid hurting anyone else.
Good, rumbled Charlie. It's hard when there are too many restrictions.
And I was feeling so good about my escape plan working out.
Mia reloaded her gun.
Time to raise our bounties.
Chapter 2.
First things first, Mia shouted. We get Izzy. We need him. For now.
She darted toward the kneeling cyborg, lifting her gun and squeezing off shots to take out the tac team members surrounding him. Two men went down before the others scrambled for cover, leaving Izzy ducking low with his hands on his head. Any chance of an ambush followed by a stealthy escape vanished when Charlie belted out another roar. Heavy footsteps echoed from the side streets as pairs of officers emerged to corral the suspects.
Mia to Ito, transmitted Mia. Fly to Point Delta.
Confirm Point Delta? Ito called back. Are you sure? That's much farther away from your current location than Point Gamma.
Due to a change in the tactical situation, there is going to be too much heat at Gamma. We're taking the scenic route and getting attention because of it.
And the flyboy and girls?
Pressed Ito.
They can load up, but they don't launch without my explicit orders.
An officer lunged from a doorway with a pain baton. He was a bear compared to Mia, but just another obstacle to Charlie, who smashed the attacker's head with his own baton, cracking his helmet open with a powerful blow that bounced the man off a wall. Mia's shot downed anyone unfortunate enough to be close. The ambush failure convinced the enemy to switch over to firearms, and bullets filled the air. Charlie surged forward to take the rounds. He jerked a few times, and Mia worried they'd gotten through his armor. She knew he could survive being shot, but she still cared if her friend took hits. He'd suffered enough pain over his life that he deserved to never feel it again until the day he died. Running past a groaning, prone enemy, Mia tucked her pistol into her holster and kicked up the man's rifle to snatch it out of the air. Taking advantage of the rifle's superior range, she pushed back the growing number of enemies trying to surround her. No matter how well-trained they were trying to outshoot a super soldier. Even then, she was holding back. As long as she stuck to the plan, she wouldn't have to use hyperfocus. The gunships curved around in the distance. They were coming back. No surprise there. Mia and Charlie approached the still cowering Izzy. Wide-eyed, he snapped his head in their direction.
Did they ID you?
Mia asked. She forced back a squad with a burst from her stolen rifle. The gun clicked empty, and she tossed it to the ground and grabbed Izzy's discarded weapon. Izzy shook his head.
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Then get up and run!
Mia shot through a side window of a nearby hover car. The bullet nailed the man on the other side in his unprotected leg, taking him down. Charlie's loud howls filled the air, but Mia knew him well enough to see the small contortions that passed for a smile. He jerked his massive shotgun around, firing with little precision. Careful aiming wasn't as critical in such a target-rich environment. His huge rounds tore through vehicles and blew holes in walls when not nailing brave but foolish enemies who weren't staying farther behind cover. The reinforcements pulled back into alleys and around corners to avoid becoming victims of his latest onslaught. Mia kicked Izzy's side.
Get up, you waste of metal! Even if we can push them back here, we'll get overwhelmed if the gunships open up on us. We've got a minute or two at most. We need to run and run fast.
Izzy stood and shook his head.
We can't escape. We're dead.
Mia shoved him forward.
Then pretend like you're outrunning death, because it's coming.
Izzy jogged forward a few yards before breaking into a full run. Mia surged ahead of him while Charlie blew holes in vehicles behind them to suppress the reinforcements. Mia zoomed around a corner. The narrow street wasn't as good as a tight alley, but the taller buildings nearby would cut down on gunship visibility and strafing runs. Izzy pumped his legs to keep up with Mia. His speed wasn't surprising, given his implants. Charlie pulled around the corner, his long, loping strides helping him catch up while he reloaded. Shots rang out from behind them. Their pursuers were smart enough to run point to point between buildings and alleys for cover, and the tactical movement saved them from falling from Mia and Charlie's unsteady run-and-gun return fire.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?